When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you consider Sunday's game the most important of the Bears season? Is it a turning point, or has that already happened? Do you believe they will get a new OC bump under Thomas Brown? What will the run-pass ratio for the offense, and will we be praising Caleb Williams on Monday or lamenting his continued struggle? Does Matt Eberflus need to get his defense humming again, and can he get it humming again?
Yeah, these are all legitimate and good points, and that's what makes it such an important game for the Bears. This is the Bears' most important game of the season because it's their next game of the season. Because at some point, the most important game of the season can't be a failed Mary. It can't be the terrible defense that you had and the last-second loss that you had in Washington. Right now, that is the defining moment of the season because the Bears have not overcome it. So as this grows, so will the pressure to move beyond that point. It's extraordinary that they followed that up, not just with the loss in Arizona, but really coming home and getting beaten by New England. And I think the reason, part of the reason they lost the New England game is that they were so beaten up they couldn't compete. They did not figure out a way to protect their quarterback. The guy got run over, steamrolled, 9 sacks. You can't have that sort of thing happen. Now, maybe the tackles come back. Maybe they're more competitive this week. This is the most important game because it's the one that matters most to ownership. And guess what? They've lost 10 in a row to this team. This is becoming farcical. So they have to at some point make a stand. The problem you have is who's going to make that stand? Who's the player that's ready to put on a Superman performance and drag you over the finish line against these guys? It's a really tough, tough question. I think all the other stuff is superfluous next to the overriding point of needing one guy to kind of lead this team. If the quarterback's going to have a big game, this would be the one to have if you can pull it off. And I don't know where they're at and if they can pull it off. And man, are they a mess. So, you know, you look at their playoff chances, all that stuff. You have to win this game, period, end of story. Or we're not going to be talking about many more important games.
You mentioned it in your answer, Mully, and I've heard it a lot this week. And as a Bears fan and as a hater of the Packers, I have to say, really? So the McCaskies care more about these Packer games than the other games. Okay, great. So do I. What are you doing about it?
Right.
So is that why the offensive coordinator got fired? Is it instead of one of the reports, and there's been lots of reports this weekend, and you know there's a battle over who's reporting right and who's not reporting right. But is the reason that the OC was showing the door because it's Packers week? Because maybe if it was Vikings or Lions week, the OC would have been moved upstairs and called the plays from up there instead of calling the plays from the sideline. Or the OC would have been stripped of his play-calling duties. He'd still be the OC. He'd be moved upstairs, and he'd help with communication with a new play caller. Who knows? But good. I'm glad this one matters to the McCaskies. So what are you doing? The mantra up at Hallis Hall should be, what have you done today to beat the Packers? What are you doing today to beat the Packers? That should be the first thing the players should see at Hallis Hall. And if that sign existed, I'm sure we would know it existed. I'm sure Hard Knocks would have showed us that this sign existed. I believe they're going to get a bounce from this OC, but I don't think it's enough to beat the Packers, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
No matter what Fox will tell you on the telecast with Tom Brady in the booth and the number one game of the afternoon, this is not the most important game of the Bears season, because they haven't earned the right to call it that. They lost that right in Landover, Maryland, and the Fail Mary, and then they lost that right when they went to Arizona and couldn't beat the Cardinals, and then last week when they lost at home to the worst team in the NFL. This is not the most important game of the season. This is just another one now. You've got to stop the losing streak against a rival. This is a chance to do that. But this is it's manufactured meaning because the Bears' season has been lost. Unfortunately, it's the way it works in the NFL. The window is open. You have to take advantage. And if you don't, you have to pay the price. They'll get an offensive coordinator bump from Thomas Brown because they'll play with a little bit more attention to detail. They'll probably have a 55-45 pass-to-run ratio, maybe 35 passes, 25 runs. They will look more competent. They'll probably protect the quarterback more responsibly. Caleb Williams will even look more efficient, but I don't know that it will be enough. The defense will play fine, but struggle with explosive plays and stopping Josh Jacobs. This defense without Jaquan Brisker and Andrew Billings no longer is the best defense in the NFC North. The best defense in the NFC North will be wearing yellow helmets on Sunday. It is the Green Bay Packers. These are tough realities to accept, but this is what you get when you play the way the Bears have the last 3 weeks. Season's done.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
That's DJ Moore. Did Packer safety Xavier McKinney cross a line by calling out DJ Moore?
You think he knows who 29 is now?
I hope so. But I don't give a damn what he know. Like, this dude walked out on him. Like, I've been playing football for 5 years now, and I've been watching football for longer than that. And I don't think I've ever seen it. Like, you're supposed to be the guy, and you walking, you know, you just walking off the field. And then you walking off the field on a rookie quarterback that you've been praising. Just like, so it's like, you know, it's a whole nother story.
Will any of this have an effect on Sunday's game?
No, I don't think it will. I think it's hilarious that somebody would be that offended by something that innocuous, but this is the world we live in, and social media and perceived slights and what athletes do to motivate themselves. They'll find something. This is definitely that you had to look for to find. When he said it back in June, I don't know that anybody other than maybe Xavier McKinney and his family felt like DJ Moore, when asked about the cornerbacks the Detroit Lions added and the Xavier McKinney, the safety the Packers added, how he felt. And he just was very pleasant in his response, the way he typically responds to things. This was long before we were reading DJ Moore's body language or taking that tutorial course in Chicago this fall. I don't think it's going to have any impact. It has been fun. It's a little funny. It's kind of worth a chuckle. But as I said earlier, in this week of dysfunction that has been spilling out of Hallis Hall and over the last couple, this doesn't even rank as a top 10 quote to look at, even though it has been amusing.
Oh, I hate to disagree, but I'm going to disagree. This will have an impact on Sunday. That's now a matchup. It's something else to keep your eye on. You're going to want to see when they're in a run situation, which I think we're all in agreement upon, that we'd like to see the Bears run the ball at least 60% of the time. Yeah, how is that going? How are those two going to battle, you know, mano a mano in the run game? That interests me. You know, who's going to grab the other guy's face mask first? Because I believe one of them
the
will be
the dumbest one.
Right.
I mean, really.
Right.
That's a penalty, Dustin.
Right. But one of them is going to be moved to the point to grab a face mask. So this is going to have an impact on Sunday's contest.
Okay. Can we play it? Can we just play what he said that has got all of Xavier McKinney's panties in a bunch? Let's take a listen to this, because it's shocking to me that this harmless moment is what has fired this guy up.
The NFC North, what I noticed, they really beefed up their secondary. Have you noticed that?
Who?
The Lions, they took two corners back-to-back. Xavier McKinney's in Green Bay now.
That's nice.
Yeah? How do you feel?
Yeah, I don't feel no way about it. They're just there.
Okay, really? That's the reason that there's been World War III declared?
We heard that. How do you feel? What kind of...
That would tick you two off. I would hope if that was me, if I had played in a big enough game that somebody wanted to know about the addition of me to this rivalry, and he said that,
you better believe I'd be playing that on a loop.
You're as wacky as he is.
Thank you.
You are.
So you think Xavier McKinney has right to feel slighted?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why his, as Molly put it, his panties are in a bunch. You know what? That just motivated him as well if he's listening. Okay?
Oh, that's...
A talk show host in Chicago said my underwear is up my backside.
That might be in the New York Post.
That's not...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, radio producer throws gasoline on the fire.
His drawers were in the drawer. What are you
this talking? Is devolving quickly.
Yeah. I watch my mouth.
Jeez. I'm just
potty mouth Mully.
Yeah, how did that happen?
You said it. I just repeated what you that would motivate me.
It's
absolutely.
An expression.
I'm motivated right now. I want to be heard.
Right. Let's drive to the Brat Bowl.
Let's go.
Now.
Let's go put a hat on someone.
Where's my helmet?
No disrespect to your question.
What did you make of quarterback coach Kerry Joseph saying on Thursday that the team is encouraging faster decisions from Caleb Williams in the passing game? They want the ball out to the first open receiver and for the quarterback not to wait through all the progressions. When we do that, those plays become unsackable because the ball is out of the hands. That is the quote from quarterback coach Kerry Joseph. How many times do you expect Williams to be sacked on Sunday, and what is your over-under?
Oh, man. I mean, that is dark. I think the over-under, if I were setting it, would be 4. I think that you want to keep him under 4. I think he gets sacked. I think he holds the ball a lot. I think that he's afraid of throwing it away or afraid of maybe throwing a pick. I don't know. But I like the idea of getting the ball out quickly. But I don't see the Bears... I think they'll be able to protect him better than they did last week, and I think they will, you know, emphasize that. But if I were setting it, the over-under would be set at 4, and I would figure that there's going to be 3 sacks of Caleb Williams in that game.
I think that's a really good number, Mully. I'm just going to adjust it slightly because I hate a push. I'm going to say 3.5 if I was setting the number so that we could have a winner and a loser. And I'm going to actually, and I never bet unders, I'm going to bet under. Because I think if Caleb Williams is going to do what his opening, the first question he took the other day when he got to the podium was, my job is just to listen. So you just heard it. You just heard it from your coach. He just told you to get rid of the ball. Don't go through all the progressions. Get the ball to the first receiver. That's what the coach just said. So if you're listening and that's your job, then this number should be under 3.5.
I think when we talk about the offensive coordinator bounce or the Thomas Brown effect, what we're going to see is what Kerry Joseph alluded to. You're going to see a more attention to detail by Caleb Williams to take the first read and execute. And don't think as much as you are reacting. See man open, throw man open. Or is it throw the ball? You know, see ball, hit ball in baseball. Right. What you want Caleb Williams to do is return to those instincts because I think he's been resisting that. He's been a little too tentative, and he's been doing things that I think have led to these high sack totals. He's also been doing things that maybe increase his tentativeness and in accuracy. So what you want him to do is to get into a rhythm. When you get into a rhythm, you increase your confidence, and he's been lacking that. So what Kerry Joseph said yesterday, I think, was one of the more interesting things you heard at the podium because it does make him unsackable when you get the ball out of your hands. Ask Tom Brady, the guy in the booth, is going to be calling Sunday's game, the importance of that. And I think if Tom Brady focuses on anything on Sunday that is noticeable, I hope that it is, for the Bears' sake and Caleb Williams' sake, that it's just what we're discussing. He's unsackable because he's seeing the throws. They're scheming guys open, and they're getting rid of the football. Boom, gain a 7. Boom, gain a 9. Move the chains. Keep yourself out of 3rd and long. That's an important thing they need to do. And if they make any sort of impact on this game, if you're Thomas Brown, if you're Kerry Joseph, Caleb Williams, that's where it's going to be. Sack total, I say 4.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick 6 or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, 7 o'clock is Biggs time. How surprised were you that the Bears placed Jaquan Brisker on the injured reserve? And why didn't they do it weeks ago? Have we seen the last of Brisker this year?
There's a lot of football left to be played, and I think when you cover the league as long as we have, you have to remember these examples where even with guys who you thought were should be written off to the next season, and you know whether it's after a surgery or a break or a sprain, there's importance and value from NFL teams and players in getting guys back on the field so you compartmentalize injuries or,
right,
in this case, a concussion. I know that sounds kind of cold because it's a concussion. It's a brain injury. We can't relate to that, and it's much more serious than a pulled hamstring or a twisted knee. But I do think there's a chance that Jaquan Brisker will return because of that mentality, because of what football means to him. I also know, Molly, that there was a movement this week, and maybe that's too strong, but there was some hope that Jaquan Brisker was going to play on Sunday, and it was starting to trend in that direction. This move yesterday caught some people off guard. And I think that when you look at why they did it now, I do wonder why they did it now. Because the way they did it makes you wonder legitimately why they waited. And they wasted a roster spot for how many weeks? This is on Ryan Poles. You were short a man in your secondary because you failed to act in a way that you did yesterday. Don't want to be critical and pile on all week. It's been a tough week to be Ryan Poles. But you could have handled this situation better. Doesn't mean you're not going to see Jaquan Brisker again, but I think it's going to be a while. It may bring him back regardless, just to kind of see where he is if he can recover. You wish him well, no matter the case.
I'm not surprised, disappointed. I've talked about this injury when it happened, and I thought that this was going to be a major problem for this defense, and unfortunately, for once, maybe, I was right. This is a big deal to this defense, and I don't think we see him again. Now that they have finally done this, I think they all hoped that he could come back, and now they are telling you that he can't come back. And where has he been? I mean, is it so bad that he's not up there? Is he not at Halas Hall? And now that he has been placed on IR, do you think even as soon as today, will he be made available to the public? I mean, Tua spoke to the public. It's David shrugging his shoulders. If you're watching, because he's a safety, he doesn't get the podium.
No, he doesn't get a microphone. I'm shrugging. I'm curious when I shrug, and I'm not trying to be dismissive. I want to. What do you want him to say? What would you like to hear?
I want to hear what he's been up to, and like, you know, how hard this. You know, did the doctor sit him down? Did Ryan Poles sit him down? Did he sit himself down? Did his family? Does he have a wife? Does he have children? Are his parents? You know, like. Take us through it. I'm curious because it's a big deal, and I'd like to know what this process has been like. And I think the longer we don't hear from him, the worse this really is.
Well, I mean, listen, it is a process that is ongoing, Dustin. So I think that's why you're not going to hear from him. And if you recall, the concussion was suffered against Carolina, so that's week 5. So the actual – he came into practice, so he has the injury – in a Sunday, and on Monday is when he was really feeling some of the symptoms. So he's been through a couple of these before. So there is, when you are in concussion protocol, you are outside the team. They have a 5-step process that you have to be able to overcome in order to be cleared to come back onto the field. He is, by all accounts, still feeling some of these concussion symptoms. So now that's what, 5 weeks later, and he's still feeling these symptoms, and he is unable to pass the 5-step program in order to be cleared to return to the field. So they gave him, you know, brain injuries, as David's saying here. You effectively have bruised your brain, and who knows how long it takes. And we know that he's gone through this before. That's another problem. So they're waiting for him to clear it. They wait, and now it's 5 weeks on. We're not going to be able to wait any longer. You put him on IR, and then you wait and see how it ends up. And I agree with you. I think there is value to compartmentalizing injuries, but I don't know about brain injuries. I really don't. But I think that When we were talking the last couple of days, we started asking the question, is he coming back or not? We talked about this yesterday. Could he be gone for the year?
Well,
this is, and the only defense of no, he's going to play was, Well, they haven't put him on IR.
Right.
This is a bad moment.
It is a bad
guys.
Moment. Also, because if he doesn't return this year, you do have reason to wonder the entire offseason if he'll ever play again.
No question. No question about that. So it's a tricky one, Dustin. I understand you want to talk to him and hear from him, but if he's still undergoing concussion symptoms, that means he's still in the process.
And that's why I think that's part of what I said. I don't think we're going to see him again because he's not. And by him not talking, it says that he's not ready to talk even. It's bad. I thought it was bad from the jump street.
This is really bad.
And I feel bad for the guy.
I do too. And I think that, you know, the one thing you were holding out hope about with him was that, well, they haven't put him on IR yet.
They're a different defense without him.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Mark Grody, 825 with Mully and Hall. What did you think of Garrett Crochet winning the AL Comeback Player of the Year? Will this affect his trade value?
You know, that's great. I think it's great. I got a lot of time for him. You know, I was wrong. You know, when they named him the starter, I just thought they had no one else, and it was kind of a gimmick thing, and that he would be an opener, not a starter. But he had a hell of a year, and he did a great job. And, you know, he's a strong-arm guy. He's a lefty, power lefty, strikes people out. I think he's got a lot of value. I wish there was a scenario in which he was going to spend his career with the White Sox. I don't believe there is that scenario. And I think they are going to trade him. And by all accounts, they're already talking to teams and talking about names. And I think that this is just the situation they are in, where they are, you know, they are unable to afford a guy who will be having his best years before they're ready to compete. So it kind of underscores this idea that the White Sox, you know, you could sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. Problem is, you're not going to be good enough for him in 3 or 4 years. So they're going to try to trade him and get the most out of that they can. They're looking for position players. They've got other pitching lined up. We'll see how it works out. But it is a statement on where this team is at, that it does not impact anything that he was the comeback player of the year.
And it's a sad state of affairs that doesn't help. I mean, it goes on his resume and, you know, his future Hall of Fame plaque. Okay, the back of the baseball card, if those even exist anymore, the backs of baseball cards. I know cards exist, but I don't know if the back of the baseball card is a thing. Again, if I were running things at 35th and Shields, I'd have all the conversations in the world about moving him. But based on this is another feather in his cap, mm-hmm. another resume builder. I would have him pitching for me at 35th and Shields this year. I would probably roll him out there like they did at the end of last season. He'd be on a pitch count, and he'd be healthy and strong and showing his strikeout. And then when that big team in the trade deadline needs an ace or wants a closer, and he's showing that he can do both those jobs, guess what kind of a haul you get then?
Maybe.
Roll the dice.
Yeah.
He could blow out his arm again,
could.
Blah, 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 blah.
Injury is always a problem.
I just don't think you're going to get potentially what you could get if you held on to him a little bit longer.
I like this because it officially documents and forever recognizes Garrett Crochet's, I think, emergence as an ace, as one of the best pitchers in the American League. Now you have evidence that you can remember, and it's an indelible stamp on his career. And on the White Sox, worst season ever. So this is good news for Garrett Crochet. Also, it comes on a day where he can look to the other guy in the other league who got the other award for and recognized for being the comeback player, Chris Sale, the National League Comeback Player of the Year. Well, Garrett Crochet, if you have struggles, if you have another injury, another setback, you can still be Chris Sale because you have that kind of stuff. You've had this kind of start, and now you have this kind of potential. The Sox are going to trade him. It's probably the best thing for the franchise, and we all should be sorry to see him go because this is a tremendous talent.
That's a great question.
All right, more questions. Lots of questions. How pumped are you for the Bulls' first game in the NBA Cup?
Yeah!
Cleveland against the unbeaten Cavs. Are you smelling an upset?
Does it concern you the Bulls have yet to win a game in the NBA Cup after an 0-4 and a minus 48-point differential last season?
Well, I want to start with the positive. So I think I'm with Mully, and the Bulls can actually go into Cleveland and win this game because the Cavs are almost lately begging to be beaten. And this is a tough thing to maintain. They're 13-0, and I think this is an opportunity, as well as the Bulls are playing, trending in the right direction with everyone getting healthy. They can win this game, and I would not be surprised if they do tonight end the streak, and the Cavs are 13-1, and the Bulls are capping off a very good few days. Now, you know I think this NBA Cup is nonsense. This is a money grab of money grabs. This is something to combat load management. Adam Silver's great idea. All right, great. You're going to pay these guys $500,000 if they win. Who won last year? The Lakers, and they had confetti, and everyone made fun of them. All I care about, what color is the floor going to be? How gaudy will it be? I'm not going to, I mean, I will watch because it is the Bulls. But I don't know. 0-4 in the NBA Cup. Who comes up with this stuff? This is ridiculous that it's some sort of contrived tournament. This is Bulls, Cavs, and me, nothing else.
Can I get a copy, Brandon? Can you send me a copy of that song so that I can get everybody pumped up when I'm out watching TV? See, tonight's a very busy TV night for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We got the Dukes of York playing in the final eight of the state championship
wow.
football tonight.
What time's that?
It's a 7:30 kick, 7:15 nice. Kick. So I don't know if I will leave the Spring Inn and walk the 200 yards to Clarence D.E.'s Field in Elmhurst because I can watch it there.
Stumble.
Then I can also watch
stumble the 200 yards.
Well, you no no it's Spring In, Stumble Out. That's the slogan of the Spring In. You spring in and you stumble out. So you've got that. Then you've got Tyson and Jake Paul. I know it's okay. Not everybody's interested, but I'm interested in that. I just don't know if they've got enough TVs at the Spring In to support Bulls, Cavs, York Dukes football, and Tyson Paul. But I do agree with you, David, that this cup thing is so ridiculous. They just remember, every Tuesday and Friday night for the next 5 weeks, and then, like, the Bulls were one of like four teams that didn't play this past Tuesday, right? So they don't even have the opportunity to be 0-5 in the cup yet because they didn't play in the first cup game.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
They were one of literally, I think four teams didn't play on Tuesday night. Everybody, the association played everybody except, of course, the Bulls. You know, win a game against the Cavs, that'd be great. You know, and then I heard Chuck, you know, talking about the matchup of Max LaVine. He, of course, didn't say Max LaVine. And the great player on the Cavs who scored 36. And, oh, what a matchup. What guy scored 36. How many has he scored tonight? 40? I mean, the Cavs are favored by 11.
Yeah,
that seems like a
70
ton.
On them.
Donovan Mitchell, hell of a
He's
player.
Really good, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah,
He's a max player. There's a max player for you.
Okay, first of all, I love the NBA Cup, and I love getting enthusiastic about it just because David doesn't like the NBA Cup and thinks it's absurd. So that allows me to act as if it is the FA Cup and really hope for a trophy for the Bulls this year and just have some fun with it because I know that you turn and look at me like
such
I'm
a money
insane.
Grab.
I know what it is. But, you know, I think it's hilarious that if you're, say, I don't know, LeBron James, you may decide that I can't win anything this year, my team's awful, hey, let's win the NBA Cup. And then you've got like a little trophy that you won and you can hang your hat on being the first guy to win an NBA Cup. I would embrace this. If I were the Bulls, I would have fun with that. I think it's great. And the fact that they have been not only shut out in the NBA Cup, but beaten by 48 points in those combined four games, that is upsetting.
That takes some effort.
So the Bulls are playing well right now.
Wow.
It would be a stitch if they could figure out a way of actually doing two things, beating the Cleveland Cavaliers, getting that little mark that they were the first team this year to beat them. And you're right. They are so ripe for an upset. And then you throw in the fact that, oh, by the way, it's an NBA Cup game. And all the goofy floor and the unis are pretty cool. I'm all over this. I think it's going to be a really fun watch, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm with you, Dustin. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that this all may work out for you because I think there's a bunch of fights on the undercard. Of no, there's more than two. No, yeah, yeah. There's
I saw they were talking about. I read about two. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's two that are of interest. There's a women's fight and whatever the other one is, but this thing might not get going until about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh wow, Dustin will
Central
be
time. Then I better be standing.
Dustin will he be still stumbling he'll springing
be,
or
yeah, he may be collapsed.
That's what Uber's for, or my feet.
Yeah.
I can walk home from there. I've done it a couple times.
But you might, this all, you know, this
I hope
might,
the Dukes are celebrating.
I'm saying get ready for a session, Dustino.
Could be a long night.
All right. We got the extra point next, and guess what it's going to be? Oh, it's time to pick them. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Tonight we're going